Praise the Lord. Well, let me ask you this. Where else would you want to go? Amen. Amen. When we can't take care of things, life gets out of hand, we can always turn to Him, can't we? And I know He's there to help us. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Did we have a good time here last night? Did you enjoy the Word of the Lord? Amen. Brother David just blessed our heart. Today is another day. We've come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Oh, tell me where. Seeking a refuge for my soul. In the end, where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, tell me where. Oh, now where could I go? Give Him a good hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Such another privilege and opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. And we're so glad to have you here today. All of you, may God bless you. A lot of folks traveling, different things, going here and there. And we just pray that God will give them traveling mercies while they're away. Bring them back home safe to us. This is a very, very special weekend that we're in right now, Memorial Day weekend, and we want to say to all of our veterans here today, We want to say thank you. And may God bless you. And especially thanks to those that paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave their life for our freedom. We say thank you to them and their families today too, don't we? May God bless them. Give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. We live in a land of freedom, and we're so thankful for the freedoms that we still have here in America. This is the best place in the world to live. I believe that with all of my heart. But I'm so glad that we're going to a better land where there'll be no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no more sickness. Aren't you glad you've got a promise of that this morning? Amen. We have just a few requests, if you don't mind, to just stand with me this morning while we look at them. Brother Amos, if you'd get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer. We'll remember Brother David Tranny in prayer, going through a very rough time, low in spirit, really needs encouragement, prayers of the saints. So let's remember that request this morning. I want to pray for Brother Mike Lunsford, who is at the emergency room for chest pains. Pray that everything will be well. We certainly want to pray for Brother Mike, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Sister Jane Terrell is being transferred to Hillview in Elizabethan today for rehabilitation. So let's remember her, that the Lord would just be mindful of her today. Brother Matt Carter says to please pray for my sister Fran Figgs. The doctors are thinking maybe that she would have congestive heart failure. So let's remember that prayer request today as we pray. We have someone visiting with us today, Brother John Harris. That's the nephew of Brother Lee Walmsley. John, where would you be? Would you just raise your hand? Give this young man a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you here. Amen. If we have any other visitors, we certainly want to say we are glad to have you. Those that would be streaming the service, pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. We are looking forward to what God has for us today here in this service. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we just commit all these things to the Lord. Brother Amos, if you'd come at this time, take us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate Brother Amos and Sister Lisa Cust. They're a good part of our church. We love you, buddy. We're proud of you. Appreciate you. God bless you.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for visiting us, Lord, so many times. We thank you for your abiding presence, Lord, in our lives and hearts. Lord, what would we do without you? Lord, we would be absolutely lost. Lord, other people can walk this earth, Lord, under the blessing of the Lord. They can do what they want to do. But, dear God, your elect are not complete without you. They've got to make their connection, and you've got to make your connection with them. And Lord, for that we're eternally grateful, Lord. We will always be thankful. We thank you for the great price that you paid for us, Lord. How you got your hands so dirty. How you took upon your body our afflictions and with your stripes, Lord, placed upon your back for these requests this morning, dear God. Many of them are with illnesses, Lord God. Lord, you bore a crown of thorns for those who are depressed, O God. And Lord Jesus, we think of that one this morning, dear God, that's going through this time of low of spirit, dear God. How many of us have walked that path? How many of us have gone down those alleyways, Lord God, and demonic oppression and so forth as that to attack our minds, O God, and cause us to walk in low places, dear God. We pray for this one, Lord God. You would lift them up, dear God, and deliver them from that evil spirit, O God, I pray. And Lord, may the joy of the revelation, Lord, just flood their entire being, Lord. Lord, sometimes the devil blinds us and causes our eyes to fail to see, Lord, what you have laid up for us, the great treasures. Lord, not just future treasures, but treasures of the present, dear God, that we can enjoy. And he causes our sight to be distracted by these other things, circumstances, O God. Lord, may you illuminate the path of our brother, dear God. Illuminate his mind and his spirit, dear God, to see what you have for him and what he can enjoy right now. Lord, you said in your word, dear God, through your servant David, Lord, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, dear God. And Lord, we could be tormented. We could be tormented by different situations in our lives, O God. But at the same time, be eating from the table, Lord, and enjoying the things of God and rejoicing and praising you. Even though cancer may be eating away at the body, Lord, our soul can be feeding on the bread from heaven, dear God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just pray for our Brother Mike, dear God, over there in the emergency room, Lord God. Lord God, we just pray that that condition would be arrested. Lord Jesus, we believe it was brought to his attention some time back, dear God, that something needed to be done, and it was done, dear God. So we believe that your hand is for him. Dear God, your divine favor is for him. Dear God, we're praying, Lord God, there will be a wonderful outcome. It's just attack of the enemy, God, we pray. Lord, be with Sister Jane, dear God, as she goes, Lord, into rehab. Dear God, we pray that everything will work out well for her and our brother as well, dear God. We ask for all the unspoken requests this morning, Lord, that you will undertake, Father God, on each and every one of them. We know that you're a diversified God. And Lord, there isn't anything that you don't know about, and there isn't anything that you can't fix. You're a master mechanic, Lord, a master doctor, a master surgeon, Lord, a spirit lifter all the way around. And to that we give you praise and we give you glory and honor, Lord Jesus, for our brother this morning as he comes to break the bread of life, Lord God. May we feast and drink from that table, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. As I said a few minutes ago, if we have visitors, God bless you. Let's sing a song this morning. We're going to keep on the firing line today, aren't we? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Yes, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on. Against all evil, never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier he can trust. We'll be right back.
shout of welcome we will all march in. So
amen. Sister Lisa, if you'd come, you'd be getting ready to sing this morning. Brother Brandon, your father is here. Brother Brandon Green's father. Is your mama with you? His parents are here this morning. And Brother Brandon's father is a tremendous, tremendous singer. I don't even see him, but I know he's here. Brother Green, where are you at this morning? Raise your hand so we can see you. Right over here, I want you to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing us a song this morning. Give him a hand as he gets ready to come. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate our brother. Amen, we certainly do. Appreciate Brother Brandon and his family, don't we? Amen, God bless him. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing a little chorus as our singers get ready to sing. Just remain standing just for a few minutes. But let's sing a little chorus. Brother Lenny wrote a song long, 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 long time ago. And it still holds true today. I believe this. If we're rooted and grounded in the faith that has been presented to us, we ain't looking back. We ain't thinking about turning back. But we're pressing on. All is well in your life. I don't care what kind of a blow that you get dealt in this life, you're doing real well. Because you've got a promise that it's all going to be over. And you know what? You read the back of the book and you know what? Oh, you can say it better now. We read the back of the book and give him a hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Yes, all is well. You can be seated this morning. Where is Sister Lisa at this morning? There she is. Give her a nice hand as she sings for you.
Forevermore. constructed for my dwelling, and the streets of gold will run by my front door, and I'll have arms that will never fill with teardrops. I'll have legs that will never ache with pain.
Case of bronchitis I've had in 15 years. So, but you know what? We got a new one waiting, don't we? Lord's been good to us. I was out in sin. I was lost. Had no hope. And one day the Lord delivered me from that. He broke those chains. He set me free. But you know what? When he saved me, I didn't realize exactly at that moment what he had done for me. I've been serving him for 37 years, and I'm just now beginning to wrap my mind around what God has done. And I think if I live to be 100, I'll never come close. And so I just appreciate the Lord for the privilege that He's given me to live for Him. And most of all, to know Him on a personal level. He's not only my Savior, but He's my friend. He's everything that I need. And that's what this song is about. The King and I walk down life's road together, where many people go passing by. The greatest one, and I'm a lonely beggar. Walk hand in hand, the King and I. Why He should care for me will always be a mystery. He holds the whole world in His hand, but what am I? Somehow can help but wonder why we're together, the King and I. The King and I, not long ago, were strangers. I walked alone, not knowing why. Like this right here. Until He came and put His arms around me. Now we're not strangers.
Sings that good with bronchitis. The rest of us ain't got a prayer. Amen. Certainly appreciate that. Let's stand this morning as Brother David gets ready to come. Appreciate Brother Green. God bless you, buddy. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give him another hand. Sing that second one.
The King and I, not long ago, were strangers. I walked alone, not knowing why, until He came and put His arms around me. Praise the Lord. Now we're not strangers, the King and I. And so my
can certainly see a gift runs in that family. Blind man can see that. Certainly appreciate the songs this morning. I appreciate that song by Sister Lisa. That's a beautiful song. Because one day I believe we're going to have a body that will never ache and never have pain. Little did she know I was going to be going right down that direction. So I believe God works in the service, don't you? Praise God. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 21 this morning. Last night we was reading from this portion of Scripture, and I read Isaiah 60, and then I read Romans 8. While studying this morning, I realized I had it backwards. Because of Romans 8, we get a Isaiah 60. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, it groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which has the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, we groan within ourselves, waiting. Now notice he brings up patience in this. We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And Brother Abraham tells us the message of the breach, that takes place at the first resurrection. He said, we're waiting for ourselves, we're groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, which means to quicken, the redemption of our bodies. Now Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. And because we're waiting, Brother Brown preaches the message, Shalom, and he announces something to God's children, the elect, and he says, so arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Let's just bow our hearts now and ask the Lord to help us in the service this morning. If you have a need in your heart and you need the Lord to touch that need, let's just raise our hands to him and just lift them to him to let him know. Heavenly Father, you see every hand that's been lifted in the building this morning. And Lord, as we come before you as people that are so needy, we're needy of your grace and we're needful of your love. We need your mercy. And Lord, we're asking that you would be merciful to every heart, Lord, that has been gathered here. You see the different needs, Lord, in every heart. And Lord, no doubt they're different one from another. But Lord, no matter how great they are or how small they are, you're able to meet every one of them. So we call upon you now and ask that you would just move in this place. And Lord, we ask that you would just come and anoint me with the word of life. That Lord, we can just move aside, that you can come and say something that will help us, something that will be edifying to the church. Lord, it's our desire to go higher. We want to go higher than we've ever been in our lives. Help us, Lord, that we could look within your word and we can see a reflection of what you've called us to be, what you've ordained us to be. Lord, you see the disorder around us. I pray, God, may there not be one heart in disorder, Lord, or out of court. But Lord, we believe this message come to bring us back into perfect order. Help us as we look in your word. We'll be so careful, Lord, to only give you the praise, for you're the only one that's worthy. No man would be worthy but you alone, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to start this morning with a statement that Brother Brown makes to us out of the message of the breach. And I've been trying to get here for 2 weeks, and we're finally getting to this statements that we want to look at. And really, this is the real thought that whenever we first started looking at this, this is where I was trying to get to, and so many things just come in there. And I think God's word is, as we was talking earlier, just it's constantly unfolding to us. And I'm glad it's that way. But remember the message of the breach, he's referring to the scripture that I just read to you, the book of Romans chapter 8, where Paul said, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we do groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Brother Bram reads that statement to us in the breach, and he tells us, oh my, don't that make us old folks feel good? He said it ought to make us all feel good. He said we're waiting for this hour. We understand this will take place at the first resurrection. He said, see, nature is groaning, and we are groaning. Everything is groaning because we realize there's something that's not right. Or I'll say there's something out of order. There's something that's not right. And the only way you can groan and wait for it, it's because there's been new life that has come in here that speaks of a new world to come. Because there's a deep that calls to the deep. We're not calling for another age. We're not calling for more darkness. We're not calling for more sin. We're calling for a world that don't have no sin. We're speaking out because we have something within us. We're calling for a world that has a perfect order, where disorder is gone and all these things is behind us. Because we have that gene seed within us, it's calling for a perfection in a new world that's to come. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just anxious to preach this morning. He said, we realize that we're groaning. Everything's groaning because we realize something's not right. And the only way you can groan and wait for it is because there's come new life in here that speaks of a new world to come. And now these things that's groaning in our bodies, did you ever notice a tree on how it struggles? Watch this disorder. You watch a tree on how it struggles for life. It wants to live, and you notice an animal in death and how it struggles. You notice a human being, and everything is groaning. And we in ourselves are groaning, see. We know there's something wrong. We see this from the verses that there's something has been lost both to man and the earth. Creation of all type has lost something, for we see that this inspired word, it's groaning for some reason, and you don't groan unless there's a reason for it. Something's lost, it's groaning, and it's trying, glory, to get back to its original state, back to its original condition, the prophet says, back to its original order, if you will. Would you imagine somebody falling down into a deep pit somewhere, and they're struggling and climbing and pulling, and they must by some means get out of this pit. They're not in their original state. Then frantically they're screaming, they're clawing the walls, making a noise and doing some way. They're groaning because that they want to get back to their original state. They want eyes that can see. They want bodies that will not ache. They want, don't you see? They want something that gets them back to their original state. And I'll say it, Sister Lisa did. We have one that is coming. Hallelujah. He said they're groaning because they want to get back to the original state. And when a person is struck with disease and aches and pains, at one time there wasn't that way, but they're groaning. Why? They're not right. There's something wrong. They are groaning. They're trying to get back to where they was when they had health, order. And when nature and people, as the Bible said, are groaning, it shows there's something that's not, they're not right in their ought to be condition. They've fallen from somewhere. We know that the same type, as Brother Ram said, not only are they groaning, but we are groaning within ourselves. Nature's groaning. Even the earth itself, Brother Ram says, it's groaning because it has been taken out of order. Now, we looked at last night on how that in order to restore it back, which is what we're speaking on, restoring order, we know that God has to bring the earth into an order to make it inhabitable. And then we found out that God had to bring Abraham and Sarah's bodies back into order to make it the way that God can inhabit them. And then we know that God has to change not just our bodies. He has to change our minds. He's got to make it, has to make it conducive to be able to receive seed. And we know that we are in type. We are in type identified. We come under identification. And every person that's here today, you come under some kind of an identification. And we know that in the beginning, whenever Adam was created, we was identified in Adam. Identified in Adam. Now notice, not only are we identified in Adam in the disorder, but we are identified with Adam in the original order. And we see how that Adam being a son of God, as Brother Ann would say here in this message of the breach, also power transformation, how that Adam, he was sent to have control over the elements of the air. He was sent to be a God upon this earth. He was sent there to have rule and have dominion. We was identified in Adam. And then we know that, of course, that when the woman had failed there, of course, not having her own identity till after the fall, she was just there at that place of being identified in Adam, her name being Adam, because she was a part of Adam. But once Eve takes, or once the woman takes and falls, God begins to tell her, you'll be the mother of all living. And now, because of identification, of a decision that was made out of disorder, out of confusion, and even out of a lie, we find that the whole human race was going to be identified in Adam. Now, Adam was not deceived by the serpent. Adam was not deceived by the devil. Oh no, Adam knew exactly what he was doing whenever he went in and took his wife unto himself, because he realized that Eve would have never been able to live had she not had the seed of Adam inside of her. Because, oh glory, Eve would have to be identified back with the word seed lie planted on the inside of her, or she would have never been able to live. She would have been eternally separated from God. Don't you see, when Sarah laughed in the presence of God, I heard Brother Ram say it yesterday, he said God would have killed Sarah had it not been that she was a part of Abraham. Hallelujah. Don't you see that God would have killed you and me had we not been a part of that word? Hallelujah. In the beginning, God would have killed us. Identification. When Adam fell, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:20, I'm going to lay just a brief foundation. I promise you I'll hurry. I got my time here. I'm watching it. You don't have to worry about that. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, I want you to notice what the scripture says. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, A-L-L, for as in Adam all die, or I can say all have sinned, because of the condition of disorder that we're born into, we're born under the penalty by identification of what took place in the garden that day. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Also Romans chapter 5 verse 12. I know you're familiar with this, but just to remind you. He said, but Paul says, whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by what? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him, amen, who was the figure of him that was coming. He's prophesying somebody's coming. If there's a man that was falling, I'm prophesying there's one that's not coming, that's not going to fall. If there was a man that was actually plunged into sin, plunged into disorder, there's coming a man who will not be of that order. He'll be of a higher order, Brother Terry. He'll be of a higher life, a man that will live completely without sin. He will be a man, oh glory, who will have dominion over that sin. He said, oh, my one man's disobedience at the similitude of Adam, brother of Adam's transgression, who's the fear of him that was come. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And sin by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You wasn't born righteous. You was made righteous. By what? Jesus Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Oh glory. But where sin abounded, and it did, grace did much more abound. For Paul said in verse 17, if it's by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in one life. Oh, listen to this, in life by one Jesus Christ. So I'm identified in Adam, and it brought me to this condition of disorder. But now I have been identified in Christ, and he redeems me back from this disorder. Because now notice, he did not come the same way that every other man born after the disorder of Adam. He was born higher than what every other man was going to be born. Now we realize if we was identified under that, and we know that the fall came because of a woman that took the word of the enemy, and she broke the word of eternal life, and she broke God's word and God's promise. It plunged her into this disorder because of unbelief. Brother Ram said many people think that drinking and drugs and alcohol and all those things is unbelief. Brother Ram said that ain't unbelief. Those are attributes of unbelief. Amen. The real sin is unbelief itself. You realize the things that we see around us today, all what we call sin and the chaos of the world, don't you realize it caused by one thing? That's unbelief in God's word. The original sin is unbelief in God's word. So we was identified by unbelief. But when Christ come, we got identified in belief. Now he has to, in order to do that, he's got to have the power of transformation to take you and I, who was alienated, who not even sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, but you and I would have to be brought back into order. Listen, not just my heart turned back, but my whole body has got to be turned back. Because Baran said Adam never had to be sick. He said Adam never had to die. Brother, don't you see what Adam has fell from is what Jesus Christ has come to redeem every son and daughter of God back to. Because we are born again, I am not a sinner. I am not a sinner. I do not practice sin. I do not practice unbelief. I am saved by the grace of God. And I am identified in my perfect sacrifice. Well, Brother David, you made this mistake and that mistake. And you realize all the young people struggle with it. Everybody struggles with it because they constantly see the outside man. I want to tell you, I am identified in that lamb. If you want to know who I am, don't look at me. Look at the perfect sacrifice who stood in my place. That's what I'm identified as. Amen. Oh my, now you realize because of the chaos that Satan brought, Jesus Christ, his word come to strip the enemy of all the chaos he possesses. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave off of his side. And Satan has no legal right to not one son of God. He has no legal right over your life. But I'm still living in a body that groans. I still live in a body that has heartaches. And you do too. Amen. You got to admit, the older you get, the better you was. Oh yeah, we like to brag about how great we was. But the problem is, we was that. Not we is that. As time goes on, the penalty of this disorder, it is not weighing on my soul. It's weighing on my body. Amen, somebody. Satan has no right over that predestinated seed. But because of the time element of the fall, my body is still under the penalty of disorder. This body's bondage to us. This body is tabernacle. It binds us sometimes. It literally causes us to groan within ourselves. Now, Brother Bam, in the message of the breach, he identifies that we're groaning. Everything is groaning. He said it's because we're not in our original state. And we see that the world that we live in, it's not in proper order. And the scripture tells us that it's travailing. It's travailing together in pain until now. Now notice, but there's something that's got to bring us back. And the earth is going to be redeemed. It's got to come back. It's an attribute of God. It got justified under Noah. The blood dripped upon it under sanctification and justification in Jesus Christ. And it's coming to a fire baptism. Watch the order. He's bringing back the order on the earth. What about you and I? He's bringing us back to our rightful condition. The place we should have been at originally. We'll go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. We're not in our ought-to-be condition. Brother Mount picks this thought up on this groaning in the message of the third Exodus, and you can go look it up for yourself. It's beautiful. And Brother Mount was bringing this thought to us of this groaning that takes place within us. And he's tying it as it was in the first Exodus. He ties it right down to the third Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried. They groaned. And their cry came up before God by reason of bondage. Now, the word sigh, of course, it means, sigh means to groan, to be in pain or grief. It means to gasp or moan. Because of their bondage, it literally moves them to speech, to cry out, and to groan. Verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. Now notice, here is Israel, why they are in bondage. And this is God's people. This is God's firstborn, Israel, God's firstborn of the earth. And because of disorder, they have now become slaves to the Egyptian. And they've been there by prophecy. They went down into it. But not only did the prophecy take them into disorder, but the prophecy always called, also called them out of disorder. And because of the condition that was around them, and we know that Abraham tells us that they was living down in Egypt, and while they are down in Egypt, Egypt is a type of sin. So they're living in the type of Egypt, and you realize before Israel could have ever gotten out of Egypt, they had to start crying to God to get them out of the mess that they was in. Now notice, this is not Israel down there in Goshen. This is not Israel down there in Egypt. And my, they're so excited because they read the promise of Abraham, and they have already heard how that Abraham had already prophesied that they're going to dwell and they're going to come out. That's not what's going on. But because of the burdens that's going on around them, because of the bondage of the workload that's been put upon them, and the bondage of the distress, of the disorder, of the life that they are living, it caused them to begin to cry out. Let me say it like this. Because of the squeeze that was coming upon them, they start groaning. Because of the slavery that they was in, it caused them to groan. Don't you realize every denomination around us, they're getting people comfortable, my, putting their hands behind their head, enjoying this world. Just enjoy life. Just enjoy this world. Just enjoy this sin. We cannot enjoy this type of a world. It is a state of chaos and disorder. They preach prosperity messages. They preach how great God is. Never have a battle. Never have a trial. Brother, it wasn't that way in the first Exodus, and I doubt very seriously it'll ever be that way in the third Exodus. Amen. They want the holy dollar, but they don't want the holy God. We even find some of that nonsense blending right over in our message. And the church said amen. Hey, listen, friend, God's got plenty of money. God's got plenty of houses. He's got plenty of land. What He wants is, He wants a people that's tired of living on this earth. He wants something within you when you begin to look at the sea of the chaos of this world. Something triggers inside of you saying, Lord, take me out of this place. Something's got to make us uncomfortable with this world. Amen. If you're comfortable living in this world, something's wrong with you. I had a man tell me years ago, I said, brother, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get out of this mess. He said, not me. He said, I like my life right now. And I'm probably looking at him about like a calf looking at a new gate. They didn't see that over here. Are you kidding me? He said, I'm happy in my life right now. I mean, we got a good job, and it seems like everything's fine, and we're just really enjoying all these things. Naturally, I'm thinking, have you lost your mind? Do you realize, for all, let me just say this. Remember, Brother Ram says, if the devil is after you, that proves he ain't got you yet. But I can tell you right now, the devil is after the bride. And because he is after you, he's making you uncomfortable living in this world. He's making you uncomfortable because you are in bondage. Hallelujah. God's got to make us uncomfortable living in this age of sin and unbelief and doubt. He's got to make you uncomfortable living in this place. I say it's got to be uncomfortable to us. That's why we fight so many trials. That's why we go through so many problems. That's the reason why we deal with so many things. Amen, somebody. Why? It's got to be this way. But why sickness come up on people that believes the message? It's got to be this way. God does not, He cannot afford for you to get comfortable in Laodicea. Amen, church. We cannot afford to get comfortable in Laodicea. We cannot stand to sit in Laodicea, allow Laodicea in coldness and a Laodicea darkness to creep upon us. God needs a voice in the middle of the chaos that says, Lord, get me out of here. Why so much pressure? I'll tell you why. We're getting ready to leave here. And I got a feeling that God wants to take us out of our comfort zones. Amen, preacher. Amen. Remember, Brother Adam talks about the eagle. He said it builds a nest, puts all that fur in it. He said, but there comes a time that the eagle starts pulling the fur out of the nest. Amen, somebody. And I'm telling you, the fur has come out of the nest. And there's thorns in this nest. There's trouble in this nest. There's chaos and disorder laying in this nest. And when it lands upon you, what's it make you do? Lord, send me some more. Have you lost your mind? Oh yeah, Lord, send me some more trouble. I love all the trouble I can get. I mean, the lights are on, but... Man told me one time, said, brother, we need to pray for trouble. I went, have you lost your mind? Yeah, Lord, send me a great big old load of problems this week. Lord, I want you to send me a great big old... Okay. Why don't you send me a sickness so I can fight that all week? I don't pray for those things. You don't either. We don't pray for trouble. We don't have to. They're going to come whether we pray for them or not. Amen. We will have to stand for what we believe. We'll have to fight our God-given rights. We'll have to take it out of the slimy, greasy hands of the devil to keep it. Hallelujah. We are unfit for Laodicea. We're unfit for this chaotic condition of Laodicea. This place ain't fit for real sons and daughters of God. It's been taken over by darkness and chaos and pestilence and diseases. Think about what we hear in the news. It ain't people of joy. It ain't people living happy lives. It's destruction and bombings and earthquakes in diverse places. Don't you see? The earth is travailing. Look at the chaos. Look at the chaos in our own government. Every man's hand against another. Wishing they can do their best to get this man out of office the people voted in. What is it? Chaos! Chaos around us. Chaos within us. Hallelujah. What's it cause you to do? Come, Lord Jesus, take us home. Lord, I don't know if I can live here another day. I don't know if I can go another week. Lord, I'm telling you, I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of this place. I'm ready to go home. Lord, please take me home. Whatever you got to do, Lord, make me ready. I want to get out of here. Lord, there's waves around us. There's storms on every hand. The sails are broke. The oars are broke. Master, do you care that we perish? What do you got to do? Waken the master. I said awaken the master. What was Israel doing? Awakening the master to remind him of his words. We're ready to go home. These are God's people. This is Abraham's seed. And the Bible said they was in bondage and they sighed. For the reason of bondage, they cried. They cried. They're not down there having revival. They're not shouting their shoes off. They're not rejoicing. They're not dancing around Egypt. They're burdened. They're sad. They're discouraged. They need something to happen. Amen. Why? Bondage of corruption. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, friends, you understand, we are not bound by drinking in this world. I am not bound by cigarettes. That is not what we are bound by. I am not bound by those things. You realize we are living in this type of a body that brings bondage to the real gene seed that is on the inside of me. That's calling for something higher. Amen. That's what's calling out for it. A deep calling to the deep. Amen. I say Satan better press us while he's got time. His time is up. His time is limited. Because not only have we cried, but God's remembered his promise. Amen. Hallelujah. God will not forget what He has promised you and I. Amen. The children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up before God. Now notice what happens. They cried, and God heard them. Job picks it up like this in Job 14:13. And Job's talking about his troubles. And Job says, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave." This ain't a man living in pleasure. This ain't a man that's comfortable in the age that he's living in. This is not a man who enjoys the circumstances around his life. But because of the pressure that is upon him, amen, because of the conditions of chaos that surrounds him, "Oh Lord, I wouldest thou would hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until the wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." What's the question? If a man dies, shall he live again? What's the man? If a man dies, shall he live again? And then Job says, "All the days of my appointed time of chaos, all the days of distress, all the days of trouble, all the days of problems will I wait until my change comes." Why? Job had a revelation that the resurrection was going to come and the bondage of correction of the life that he is living in, God's going to fix it because he's going to bring a change. "Lord, thou shalt call, and I will answer." But David, I'm not sure God hears my prayer. Go ahead and call. He will answer. He will answer. But listen, friends, it takes you and I. How did God know that the timing was right to deliver the children of Israel? Because He knew by the corruption of the bondage, they would begin to cry out the longer they go. Maybe there was 50 years, 100 years. Maybe they just continued in the chaos they was in. But eventually, it kept building up and building up and building up until they couldn't handle it no more. And those believers got to look into the Word of God and recognize, "We don't belong here. This is not right." Adam was given dominion to rule over everything that's on the earth. But Adam was not given dominion to rule over another man. It's out of order. It's out of order. Amen. Verse 24, "And God heard their groaning." Why so much groaning? Because they're not in their ought to be condition. Now think about it. There's promises concerning the lives of these Israelite people. There's promises of a land. Hallelujah. There's promises of deliverance. There's promises of a better place. Let me tell you, this is not the end of our story. We got a promise of a future home. We got a promise of a new body. We got a promise of streets of gold, gates of pearl. We got those promises that lay before us as the real sons of Israel. Them beatings got old. That slavery got old. It's taken the toll after years. And this body's taken a toll upon us. What do we need? Deliverance. The word deliverance means to rescue from, to save from distress, to liberate from imprisonment, to rescue from confinement. I'm confined. I'm in prison. I'm distressed. I need to be rescued from this life. I need deliverance. You need deliverance. Don't you see? That sounds like us. That sounds like the need that I have. We need rescued from the confinement of this old prison house that we live in. We need Almighty God to change this body. Your cry will awaken the Master. Amen. Amen. It was their groaning. It was their groaning that called the Master on the scene. Remember, it says like this, Angel Lord 51. He said, "I've heard the cries of my people down in Egypt. And the reason the taskmasters are groaning and they're crying to me all day and night." Yes. 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up. "Oh, my back. Oh, Lord, my back. Oh, my head. Oh, Lord, my pinky. Oh, my little toe." Sound like us, don't it? He's more aches and pains than you've ever seen in your life today. And you know what we do when we get a new pain and a new ache? We G-O-O-G-L-E it. what could this mean, the reason why I'm having these pains? And the longer you read, and yes, and your wife says, well, honey, what's wrong with you? You don't know how bad it is. I mean, it's so bad. I don't even know. I wouldn't be able to get out of this chair. You may have walked in there with that 1 acre pay, but by the time you leave there, the more you look at the symptoms, don't you see what Satan does? He uses the access of your mind. He uses it to be able to filter it down in your spirit, and it will come out and affect your body. I would look at the scripture where it said, by my stripes you are healed. Look at the word that said, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Crying to me all day and night. And I have come down, and I've come down to deliver them. Rescue from distress. Liberate from imprisonment. Rescue from confinement. Yes, sir. Moses is on the backside of the desert. He's out there enjoying a time of rest in between revivals. God begins to speak to Moses through a bush that is on fire, yet it's not being consumed. God begins to tell Moses some things. He says, Moses, I've heard the cries of my people, and I have come down to deliver them. Good Lord. Whew, good deal. Praise the Lord. I tell you what I'll do. I'll wait right here. And I'll be right here when they bring them right on up through here. I'll wait right here when you get it done. I'll be standing right here. And I'll be rejoicing and waving my hands and shouting glory to God. I'll be right here waiting right here. And the Lord said, yeah, I've come down and I'm going to deliver them, but I'm sending you. But Lord, you said you're coming down. You said you're going to do it. You said you're the one that's going to allow this to happen. I am, but I'm going to send you. Amen. Listen to this, and be not afraid, 54. It sounds ridiculous to the world, but could you imagine how ridiculous that the scene or sound? He said, before we leave, there was Moses, an old man, 80 years old, going down to Egypt. Could you imagine with an old stick in his hand, his wife and 2 children on each hip, sitting straddle of a mule. Here he goes, his head back smiling, just rejoicing. So I said, Moses, where are you going? I'm going down to Egypt to take over. Did you say you've been in the heat too long? I think you've been out there underneath that sun so long that you've lost your crazy mind. I'm telling you, I'm going to Egypt. What do you got? Where's your milk? What are you going to beat them with? Well, I got this stick. What stick? All I see is that old crooked vine in your hand. What stick do you got? You got something supernatural power? No, it's just a common stick. I found it back here on the side of the road. It was a stick in the hand of Moses, but it was a rod in the hand of God. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. I said it may have been something small in the hand of Moses, but wait till God puts it in his hand. An ox goal may be something small in one man's hand, but let it be put in God's hand. Let God's hand get put in your hand, and let God go to working through you, and God go to talking through you, speaking through you, preaching through you, and watch what God can do. Go down to Egypt to take over. A one man invasion. Never in the history of the world has one man marched into one country that had superior military power, that was educated, that had lights, that had all kinds of things. They knew how to make, they are men of education. They are very smart. Listen, they know how to make weaponry. But this man's crazy enough to believe if God said it, he's going to believe it. Where are you going, Moses? Disorder. Where are you going, Moses? Chaos. What you going to do? Bring God's people out of it. Hey, man, I'm going to bring God's people out of the chaos that they're in. One man invasion going out of Egypt. Could you imagine such as that? The world would look and say, ridiculous. But the great thing about it is, he did it. Hallelujah! Why? That ain't real deep, is it? But that is good. Well, why don't you quit our denomination? God said so. Why do you think you're bride? Because God said so. Why do you think you're going to the rapture? God said so. Why do you think you got a new body? Because God said so. Most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Why in the world do you believe this message anyway? Because God said it. Angel of the Lord 51, and I've come down to deliver, and I'm going to send you down there. So Moses walks down into Egypt, walks right into a palace he's been before. Amen. There's something different between the last time and this time. Now the Alpha's become the Omega. And now he's not walking there with something that he heard somebody said or guessing somebody said. Now he knows who he is. I say he's been restored to his position. He knows what he's called to do. I'm preaching to you. You know what you're called to do. You know what your position is. And he walks right up to Pharaoh. And Moses didn't walk up and say, now God told me to tell you to let his people go. No. Moses walked up there as the mouthpiece of God. And he said, let my people. Oh, my deliverance on the road, Brother Ram says. Yes, sir. Just as soon as he gets an order of deliverance, an order, deliverance is there. He's setting the picture together now for the great drama. And I believe that God lived in Moses in the time of Jehovah. And believe now that the Holy Spirit has come upon the church, calling the people, getting them ready. And the word church means God's called out of every denomination of people, cleansing them from their sins, filling them with the Holy Spirit, setting them aside for service for the great march. It's coming. It's already been put into action. Oh, brother, rest assured, be encouraged tonight. A great march is coming. God's equipping the believers. He's getting the people ready to leave here. Paul says it like this. For we groan. For we know. Now watch. For we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, done away with, we have a building of God. It's a house. Not made by David. Not made by Moses. Not made by Solomon. Come on, church. It's a house not made with hands. What kind of a house is it? Eternal in the heavens. We are groaning for a house that's eternal in the heavens. It's something that you always was. You just bypassed. There's an essential part of us that is missing tonight, this morning. Amen. Now, I don't possess it, but I have heard from it. Matter of fact, that's what you hear service after service. That's what stimulates you week in and week out. It's because you're hearing from that new body. And what it calls you to do, oh, it stimulates us. We get excited. We rejoice. But what it really makes us want to do, it wants, we want to step right into it. We're groaning for a body because of this one of disorder. Our Ram says it like this in the breach, and I'll hurry. Nature's groaning, we're groaning, everything's groaning because we realize something's not right. And the only way you can groan and wait for it because new life has come in here. It speaks of a new world, body, house, eternal in the heavens that is to come. This body makes you and I groan. It's a prison. It's confining us. It's really hindering the real me from coming out. Oh yeah, we get excited sometimes, but you ain't never seen the real me get excited. The real me is like a jackrabbit on springs inside. And just sometimes it bubbles to the outside and you see some of it there. But there you realize the reason we have that in us, it makes, when we have that, it makes us cry out. We want to get rid of that guy.
We want to get rid of this body that depresses us and discourages us. We want rid of Him. Paul says like this, 2 Corinthians 5:2, for this we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. When you talk about a body that don't get sick, and a body that don't never get down or ever go through trials, and a body that'll never get old or wore out, that's something I can't even relate to. But it's coming. Why, Brother David? God said so. We're groaning. He said, we're clothed upon our house which is from heaven. So Paul likens the theophany body that's eternal in the heavens, he likens it to a garment that you put on. He says, to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found Laodiceans. Now remember, Laodiceans end up naked. That's why they're naked around us, is because they're naked in them. Manifesting time. The fruits on the inside's coming out. They are naked on the outside and they're naked on the inside. Laodiceans on the outside. Laodiceans on the inside. But we are not Laodiceans. We are eagles. We're bride. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle, we do groan, being burdened. Think about it. Something's happened inside of Paul. And Paul is telling us here, even though I'm redeemed, and I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and my soul has crossed the chasm never to come back again, Paul is still identifying he's got something on the outside that's a burden to him, causing him to groan. What you groaning for, Paul? Not new birth, new body. We're groaning for a body. Think about it. We're groaning for something to match identically to the soul that's on the inside of us. We want a body to match my soul. Brother, my soul can't be lost. It's done crossed the chasm. It's been sanctified, justified, full of the Holy Ghost. It's sealed until the day of its... It cannot be unsealed. Amen. My soul's calling out for a body that won't make mistakes. My soul's calling out for a body that won't ever get down. Our soul's calling out for a body that won't have no diseases. Israel cried, and God remembered. One day I'm going to take another step. You've made a lot of steps in this life, but there's coming one final step right into a theophany body. And if you are alive and remain here, that body will meet you here. And when the natural body, the 16 element body and the theophany body, when they come together, it'll make it a glorified body. If you went by the way of the grave and you're laying in that grave, you're already in a theophany body. You'll come back here. God said He'll speak His children from the dust of the earth. And they'll pick up 16 elements, blend them together, and they'll have a glorified body. Hallelujah! What's Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. No, listen, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. The word swallow means consumed. Think about this. Humanity, disorder and chaos gets consumed by life. Hallelujah! I clicked on that word life. It does, stimulation came. You might have recognized this word life. It comes from the Greek word Zoe. Think about it. My mortality, my mortal, gets consumed within the eternal consummation of God's own life. It means the state of one who's possessed in vitality or is animate, the absolute fullness of life which comes from God in mortal. Corruptible bodies get swallowed up by the power of God. No wonder we're groaning. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 15:51. The next verse you see the word swallow. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. The word change, changed from one thing to another. It's the Greek word metamorphosis. Hallelujah. In other words, metamorphosis, Brother Bram says, remember, power transformation is like the tadpole to a frog. It's born in one condition, but it's changed to another. I'm going to say it again. It's born in one condition, but there's DNA within the tadpole that changes him from a tadpole to a frog. Listen, he's born in one dimension. Hallelujah! He's born under the water, but when something begins to kick in and something begins to grow within him for another dimension, something begins to change. His atoms become rearranged and he jumps out on the land into another dimension. Hallelujah! He shall be changed. How? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. When, Paul? At the last trump. What are you saying? There's an hour, there's a time, there's a season that this is going to happen to all of you tadpoles. For the trumpet shall sound. Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, it means the blast of a trumpet. And I use that scripture on purpose, because a man tried to disprove to me Revelation 10 ain't got nothing to do with this message, and I say it does. It's a blast of a trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The word change means to exchange, glory, one thing for another. You get to exchange the part that gets you discouraged. You exchange the part that gets you down for something that won't ever get down. I say we're getting the better part of this exchange. For Paul said this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Notice he says put on. It's like clothes. You put it on. In other words, you exchange an old robe for a new robe. You exchange an old garment for a new garment. You take off the garment of heaviness, Isaiah, and you put on the garment of praise. Hallelujah! What is that? That's the same power that led you to this message. That's the same power that transformed you from a sinner to a saint. It'll come down from heaven like a garment. Amen! And we will put it on. And death will be swallowed up in victory. I will put on a robe of immortality. Do you believe that? I hope you'll be changed. Oh God. What's the type? Elijah seen Elisha go away. And Elijah had already come to the place of wearing the right robe. Glory! But then the robe falls down, and Elisha puts on Elijah's robe. And now the same anointing that was on Elijah is over on Elisha. Hallelujah! The same power that's on Elijah. Elisha puts it on. And Paul says it like this, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. You mean, Brother David, somebody's got the Holy Ghost? That's the ones that will cry out. Amen. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to quicken the redemption of the body. Nobody knows about the offerings the way we do. Denominations do not preach the offerings the way we see the offering. As a matter of fact, they ain't hardly got a clue about it. You do a study on Melchizedek with men, and they ain't got a clue who this man is or where he come from or whatever even happened to him. It's only in this message that you find out that the order of Melchizedek has something to do with your life, has something to do with your body. We are restored back to the order of Melchizedek. Why was it? Oh, think about it, friends. Remember, there was a Logos that come out of God when God descended, and you was a part of that Logos in the beginning. Melchizedek came from God's thought to the Logos. He come down, creates a body, steps in that body. Amen. Jesus come. Think about it. Jesus come the way that Adam and Eve should have been able to reproduce in the beginning. He came by the spoken word. Eve should have spoke Jesus into existence. It should have come by the spoken word. But Brother Evans said Mary did what Eve failed to do. Amen. Jesus came down from heaven. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. The order of Melchizedek, thought, theophany, flesh. That's the order of Melchizedek. From thought to theophany to flesh. Melchizedek came from thought, theophany, and flesh. God veiled himself in a man and produced the conditions to change their bodies. Jesus came, the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. He came the order of Melchizedek. Paul brings it up in Hebrews chapter 5. He talks about the order of Melchizedek. Amen, somebody. And then we find in the end time, you get a vindicated prophet that begins to tell the people about this great prince and king by the name of Melchizedek. And he comes down after the battle, after the breaking of the seals. He comes down after the book was taken, after the seventh seal come open. And he says, Melchizedek is a mystery that was held under those seals. Amen. What's it doing? It's revealing your order, Melchizedek. Restores order back to the church. Think of it. Oh God, think about it. And this message that you've been feeding on week in and week out, the thing that moves us to cry out, we bypassed it in the beginning. We come to this world, Brother said, you come like me, you come like Adam. You come to this world, Brother said, you picked up the body to be tested and tried in. But then Brother Ram quotes 2 Corinthians 5, but when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a body that's eternal in the heavens. It's waiting. Oh God. Brother Ram tells us 2 Corinthians 5, and then Brother Ram tells the story about the little eagle in the barnyard. And theologians miss it 5,000 miles. What do we got to do with eagle and barnyards? Because he's letting them know you was already originally a thought in God's mind. You was always an eagle. You just got put into that barnyard to be tested and to be tried. But one day, your true identity of the Word of God, your true identity of Logos begin to fly around that barnyard you was in. Hallelujah! You recognized that voice sounds just like me! Mama Eagle didn't have to come down there and go, all right, this is the way it's going to have to happen. You're going to have to go to school and you're going to have three Baptist points and three Methodist points. And then what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to try to train you to get you to understand. And then we're going to clip some real big nice wings on you. And then we're going to put a helmet on you. And we're going to put a breastplate on you. And then we're going to put this idea, this creed, this dogma, this theology. But when the Word come over the eagle, everything he had need of was already laying within him. And everything you have need of to go from one dimension to another, it's already laying within you. Why is it lays in this message? Brother, I say we've heard from our theophany because our theophany has a voice in this hour. Hallelujah. Our musicians come. Oh, skip down to who's this Melchizedek. I cannot get to all of this. Whew, not going to try it. I'm quitting. It's just too much. Had 30 pages last night and preached 4. Had 30 pages a day. Didn't even bring it.
Hallelujah.
Paragraph 88. Hallelujah. After you recognize the very Word of God was eagle food, you left the chaos. You left it. You left them high and dry. And they say, ridiculous. Who's ever heard of this prophet stuff? Who's ever heard of this theophonic what? Theophonic what? Theophany. That's what I got. That's what's called me. That's what my real identity is. Well, who told you that? Well, a mighty angel descended from heaven. Hallelujah! What was he wearing? Clothes! 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 With a cloud. Hallelujah! We will put on an immortal body! You left that other thing. You heard. You have been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. First, listen to this, paragraph 80. Here we are formed to be the Word image, to be a partaker of the Word. Feed on the Word by being predestinated since the beginning. You see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey, Israel. Many of you can't remember it. You joined this church and that church. You tried this and that and nothing satisfied. But one day, you may have heard prophet, prophet, prophet since you was that high. That's true, friends. I know. I was raised with the tapes played every day. Isn't that right, Brother Paul? Played every day. But one time, something flew over your heart. And it ain't the way Daddy explained it. And it wasn't the way Grandpa explained it. Something within you came to life. And since that time, you've been groaning and crying. Oh, God. I mean, if you can't remember, you joined this church and joined that church. You tried this and that. You tried it, but it didn't match. Why? Disorder! But one day, you just recognized it. And when you come into this message, He put the gifts in order. He put the church in order. He put the offices in order. He put the ministry in order. Amen. Because everything in this world had it, all kinds of nonsense. Come into church and talk to one. Hey, how you doing back there, John? He put us into order. And we found out this is the place that God speaks to us from. So we want to make sure we keep it in decent and in order. Because God is not the author of confusion. We heard from it. We received it. Stand to your feet with me. Rest yourselves. Aren't you glad you heard that voice? You could never be satisfied just being a church of Christ. You could never be satisfied just going back. Well, we'll just become good Baptist people. Oh, good. There ain't nothing wrong with those folks. They're wonderful people. I know a bunch of them. Got as many of them as my family. Wonderful people. But there's just something in me. Can't feed on worms. Can't feed on bugs. Well, but David, everybody's, they're rallying around the hen. I can't feed like the hen. Benny hen. I got to feed amongst the eagles. Oh, spread your wings tonight. Spread your wings this morning and say, I am called to believe this message. God promised I'm going to have a body to match what's on the inside of me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. I trust, Father, that this has made sense to your people. Lord, as we take by just a few moments of today and we dig into our true identity, who we really are, we've been called after the order of Melchizedek. Don't we realize what the prophet was trying to tell us? You're not called for this darkness. You're not called for this. And then the prophet preaches the message, Shalom. And he calls to the children of Abraham and tells them to arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. There's darkness over the earth, gross darkness over the people. But God's glory, that pillar of fire, hallelujah, it has risen upon thee. Lord, I thank you that we've been able to come to it, recognize it. Lord, it ain't because we're worthy or we've done something to achieve it. It's all because of your grace that we're able to see it. Praise be to God. How we love you. And everybody said, Amen. Well, come prepare for our baptism. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed that you love me. Lord, I'm amazed. Christ is sins. I tried so hard to hide, Lord, though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, and I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Oh, then one day someone told me of a new body. Showed on a hill called Calvary, and there you died and you purchased. Hallelujah! Oh, when you broke sin's power, set my spirit. Aren't you glad they are? They're all gone. Amen.
Scotty Folsom, he's been coming here recently with his uncle, Brother Carter Lawson, who we know. Brother Scotty, I was talking to him before service, and he was telling me that, you know, he had been in and out of different churches. The Lord had been really dealing with his heart. He had met Brother Donnie at Sister Claire Moore's funeral, and he just felt the desire to come here. He said he started reading the Bible, and he knows the Bible says that you should be baptized. Brother Branham said in Revelation of Jesus Christ, it does not take, water baptism is not a revelation. It's staring you right in the face. It's an ordinance that was set. He also said, and God's provided a place of worship. Water baptism places you in fellowship with people, recognizing that you've accepted Christ. But he also said, well, when you receive that Holy Ghost baptism, the message is no longer a secret. It's wide open. It's lit up. So if we'll join our brother today in prayer and praying that upon his water baptism that he will take that next step to seal his soul with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we pray for Brother Scotty, Lord, I can't think, Lord, how profound effect this message had at this moment, Lord, that we heard this morning. Lord, before the foundation of the world, you had an order for his life. Lord, he didn't know what that order was. He was in and out, Lord, different places, seeking you, Lord. So he thought. But Lord, one day, as we read in the scripture how Jesus had need to go by Samaria, Lord, you had a need to go by Greensboro, North Carolina. Lord, as our brother spoke, for the first time in his life, Lord, he heard from his theophany. Something, Lord, that was pulling him back into order, that you had predestinated him from the foundation of the world. Lord, may he find that place, Lord, that you predestinated for him. Lord, may his theophany, Lord, continue to call out to him, Lord. Predestinate him to that place that you have for him, Lord. Lord, as we come together tonight, we pray, Lord, from this moment on, from this day forth, Lord, may he seek, Lord, that Holy Ghost, Lord, that will seal his soul to the day of His redemption, Father. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Brother Scotty has ordained it. Acts 2:38. When the apostles were commissioned, Lord, there to baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But David, what just happened? Spiritual multiplication by the Word. Glory! He didn't say it when they was in natural body, but while they was yet in spirit form. Multiply and replenish. And Jesus Christ comes, sent the Holy Ghost back upon the church so the church can be born the way they should have originally been born in the beginning. We've been born again. Hallelujah. And these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. When these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, and these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow. And we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming glory. Oh, and these are the days of the seventh angel rebuilding the temple of praise. Oh, and these are the days of the harvest, and the fields are all white in this world. Glory! And we are the laborers of your glory, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the cloud. Glory! Oh, I can hear it today with joy. It's the year of Jubilee and out of Zion. Praise be to God. Oh my. Hallelujah. We wait all week to get in this atmosphere, and then we gotta go. Oh, but brother, one morning, you'll attend your last service on this hill. Hallelujah! You'll comb your hair for the last time, and I can't wait. Somehow God's going to give me perfect hair over there. I don't know how it's going to happen. We'll never know it out of place. Won't be no hair spray or nothing else. You'll have hair if you ain't got hair. You'll have teeth if you ain't got no teeth. God cares enough about the sparrow. He knows every hair that's on your head. He cares about you. Listen, I want to say this before I go. This whole thing is about people. Jesus loved people. The prophet of the age loved people. That's what it's all about. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. Let's sing that one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of the seventh angel, righteousness being restored. Oh, and these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. We are the voice, hallelujah, Laodicea, declaring.